let's talk NFL now. The Twitter account, at Jabari_Greer, is his Twitter account. Jabari Greer is a former NFL player and our TSN NFL analyst and is with us now. How are you today, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you for the Twitter love, brother. Thank you for the Twitter love. I appreciate that.
I may be a little older, but I'm tuned into how this thing works, so I will push that. I mean, I've seen a few seasons, that's for sure. You know, we are having a debate, and this goes on every year with the four preseason games. When do you think that will change?
Well, for players, I hope, for the players' sake, I hope never, ever. You know, I definitely hope that they don't extend it, but if they do, talk about if they are talking about, you know, taking some away, it would have to be in the next couple years. You know, the NFL is changing even dramatically since I got out of the NFL. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see anything over the next 2 to 3 years if they formulate it in a way in which they can honestly capitalize and make as much money as they can.
Now, what is the logical solution for you? Do you go from 4 to 2 or do you go from 4 to 3?
Well, I mean, you know what? I would love to be in those rooms talking dollars and cents because obviously when it comes down to the NFL, that's what it's all about. As a player, I would love to go from 4 to 2 to not be able to play, you know, 2 preseason games. But, of course, they would take those 2 preseason games and make them a full season, regular season, and then make it 18-game season, which basically at full speed it takes it because as a professional football player, those 2 preseason games that they're taking away, you're not really playing. If you're a starter, you might be playing 1 quarter or 2 quarters. You take those 2 away, and you're playing 2 full-speed, hard-contact games. So those are the dramatic differences for a player, for the player's sake. So if you're talking about player safety, I think that you would stick with the plan that you have right now. But if we're talking about capitalism, we're talking about making money, obviously go from 4 to 2.
Jabari, we got another look at Kyler Murray last night. He looked great, I thought, in the preseason debut, less so probably in game 2. What was the biggest difference that you saw from 1 week to the next, and where do you see the biggest area of, I guess, the learning curve that he's going to have to face in his first NFL season?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. I think the biggest difference that I saw from the first game to the second game was the play selection by Cliff Kingsbury. In the first game, we saw a lot of quick throws, a lot of the West Coast offense. We saw a lot of the quick outs from the bunch set. We saw a lot of screens, things that were high percentage throws. In the second game, we saw a lot of spread formation, a lot more down the field throws. And the thing that I noticed that was the biggest change that he needs to work on as a professional athlete is standing in the pocket. You saw the second string, Mike Glennon, all 6'5" of him, lanky as he could be, standing straight in the pocket for the Oakland Raiders. This is a guy that had an opportunity to start for the Tampa Bay Bucks. He didn't happen, but you could see the difference between the patience that one quarterback had versus the other. Kyler Murray, even though he's athletic, even though he can run and he can do all those things to extend the play, he has to be comfortable and set his feet in the pocket. If he doesn't, it's going to be a terrible season for him. Mark my words. If he plants his feet and he learns to be patient and comfortable in the pocket, he'll be great. But if he has that skittish feet, if he can't understand the pressure that's going to come and stand in there and take those hits, he's going to have a hard and long learning curve.
I'll ask you about another dynamic young quarterback in Lamar Jackson. We saw his wheels again last night, an impressive 20-plus yard touchdown run, which was negated by a penalty, but it was impressive nonetheless. We don't have too many questions about what he's able to do with his feet. It's more about the arm. How much have you seen his passing improve or grow, develop over the summer, over the last year or so? And what is the ceiling for him this season if he is able to take that next step as a passer?
Well, the truth is I haven't seen that much in regards to his mechanics, because this is what we're talking about, right? We're talking about the mechanics of his throw, his ability to get the ball in the window and get it accurately. So I haven't seen anything dramatically different. But I think that the coach, what Harbaugh has to do is allow the playbook to center around what Lamar Jackson's strengths are. Because he's a dynamic quarterback. He can take things, he can complete as many balls as he wants to over the middle and between 1 to 10 yards. He's a great quarterback in that aspect. But if they want to stretch the field, if they want to do things in which they're going to be pass heavy, Lamar Jackson can be a, it might not be the best system to put him in. So I think that what they have to do is play to his strength. Because you got to understand, this guy's been playing football since he's been a kid. He's not going to change from 1 year to the next. Like, he's pretty much set as a football player right now. He can tweak a little thing. He can tweak here and there. He might be able to get his elbow up a little bit more, maybe a little more comfortable in a pocket. But he is as advertised. This is the player that we're going to get. So being that this is the player we're going to get, we got to use what we have. And Lamar Jackson can be a dynamic player if they continue to focus around what he's strong at. And I think that Harbaugh is doing a great job of doing that. So, you know, I don't want to compare him to a Peyton Manning. I don't want to compare him to a Tom Brady because he's not, and he'll never be. He can be the best Lamar Jackson that we've ever seen. Obviously, this guy can run the football. He can throw on the run. You know, he's more comparable to Russell Wilson, a young Russell Wilson. He can do everything. So as long as the coaching staff plays to his strengths, allows him to flourish doing what he does well, he can get comfortable in the pocket, and he can complete those passes that they're asking him to do.
Jabari, we're going to play a game here. It's an overview question. So the game is called Up and Down. One team each from the NFC and AFC, one team that goes up, one team that goes down on both sides. What do you have for us?
Oh, well, you know what? Hey, listen, I like the New York Jets. Sam Darnold, the way he was throwing that ball, New York Jets are going up. Obviously, with Le'Veon Bell right now, they have a solidified running back. The bad thing is they did lose their linebacker, Avery Williamson, which is a captain. He's a guy that brings a lot of spirit to their team. But I think they're trending up. A team that could be going down right now could be the San Diego Chargers. They lost Derwin James. He is their heart and soul. He was a dynamic player. We don't know how long he's going to be gone for. But I don't think with that stress fracture in his foot, he's going to be available earlier in the season, which could be an issue in the AFC when they're trying to actually catch Kansas City Chiefs. So for the AFC, I would say the team going up would be the New York Jets. The team going down would be the San Diego Chargers. For the NFC, I think that, of course, we have the New Orleans Saints. I think they're a team that's going to be continuing to go up because what I see is their secondary has always been their key. As long as they have a great secondary, as long as they have a good defense, the offense is going to matriculate down the field. And I think with what we've seen with Latavius Murray and now Alvin Kamara back there, that 1-2 punch can be dynamic. Drew Brees is going to be consistent. They have some receivers right now. They're trending up. I think that the team in the NFC that's trending down, that's a tough one right there, man. So the Carolina Panthers, you know, although Cam Newton is, I think he's still one of the, I think he's still a top 10 talent, but I just don't see the running style that they love to do be efficient in the offense that they have right now. Christian McCaffrey, he's great. But he's not the Jonathan Stewart that they love. They love the ground and pound. They love that. They love that type of ground game. And we haven't seen it over the last couple of years. So I would say that they're kind of trending down this year, especially since they're in the NFC South with the New Orleans Saints.
What do you make of the Antonio Brown drama in Oakland? Is he putting on a show for the Hard Knocks cameras, or is this?
You know what? I was actually thinking about that yesterday because we've been talking about it. And then when I saw the Hard Knocks. Oh, because I don't watch Hard Knocks. You know, that's a drama. That's something else. But when I saw the Hard Knocks on the sideline, the Hard Knocks crew on the sideline, it literally went off like a light bulb. This is what we've been seeing with Antonio Brown. And I honestly believe that as a player, you know, we're in a different age of the NFL. We're in the age of the persona right now. You know, people actually get paid now off of their persona. We saw, you know, Richard Sherman go from a dynamic quarterback, a cornerback, to somebody who is literally like the persona in that position. I think he was one of the guys that kind of transcended that and kind of made the persona on the field something that can really make you a lot of money. So I would not be surprised if the Hard Knocks crew kind of instigated, not necessarily tried to instigate, but allowed Antonio Brown to put that persona on film. So I do think that has something to do with it. But also, I understand with him being injured, you know, the only thing he can do is be the persona off the field. Because, you know, we all know who he is as a player. We all know that he is one of the – he is probably the best receiver in the NFL. So once he gets on the field, I believe we're going to see Antonio Brown the way that we've always seen him.
Well, while we're on the subject of drama, I'll ask you about the holdout backs. Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas, I guess, chilling in Mexico right now, and Melvin Gordon in San Diego. You mentioned the Chargers earlier. Give me a prediction. Do we see Zeke in week one, and do we see Gordon in week one?
I think we see Zeke in week one. I think that the truth is I don't think these guys want to be in training camp. You know, hey, who really does? But also, given that they are still under contract, I believe that we will see Zeke in week one. Melvin Gordon, who knows? This is the first time that we've seen this right here the first time that we've seen Melvin Gordon kind of take this stand. So this may be something that he's in for the long haul. You know, Le'Veon Bell has established a precedent where a guy will sit out for the entire year and still get paid. So, you know, let's not keep in mind that these are two running backs who have seen this happen over the last year. So, you know, I would say, given that Jerry Jones has what seems to be unlimited pockets, you know, his pockets are deep, I would think that they would get that job done because Ezekiel Elliott is the best in the league and he should get paid like the best in the league. Melvin Gordon, even though he may want top five running back money, I don't think he's a top five running back. So if he's holding out for that, I don't know if he's going to get it. He may hold out longer than Ezekiel Elliott.
Some breaking news coming down while we're on the phone here from Adam Schefter. The NFL is reinstating Josh Gordon. Surprised by that, and what's next there? Is there a suspension coming, and ultimately with the Patriots sort of going through a bit of a turnover on the receiving side of things, how much could Josh Gordon factor in with the Patriots this season?
Oh, but obviously last year we saw some flashes from Josh Gordon. I mean, he's a big receiver. Even though he was out for a year, he still could go downfield, still could make some big catches. He can be a dynamic player. That being said, I don't know exactly how much he's been working out because that is the truth. You know, these guys are in training camp. These guys have been working consistently 6-7 months to get ready for this moment, for this season. Who knows what Josh Gordon has been doing? I know that, you know, he's been hoping that he gets reinstated. Now that he's reinstated, what kind of shape is he in? I would like to reserve my judgment as to what type of player he'll be this year, till I honestly see what he can do in the preseason, if he gets an opportunity to play in the preseason. But if he's ready, if he's been working out, if he is focused and ready to make the most out of his opportunity, he can be a dynamic player, especially you couple him with Tom Brady. Tom Brady makes undrafted rookie receivers all-pro. I mean, he's a guy that can make you an all-pro player easily. So Josh Gordon, having the best quarterback who's ever played the game, I mean, come on, man. That could be great.
You know, this is normally the time where I ask my Detroit Lions question because I've been a lifelong Lions fan, and so I'm gonna phrase it this way: which team had a dreadful season last year will have another dreadful season this year?
You know what, man? I hope I've always liked the Detroit Lions, and I've always hoped that they can get it together. You know what, Matt Stafford has been that quarterback who's had ultimate promise. He's like he's like when spring kind of peeks his head for the first time. You know, he's like, oh, I hope that it's going to be warm. But then 2 weeks later, you know, we're in the middle of winter again. So I honestly believe that Matt Stafford has to be able to take that next step. He has to be able to take the team on his back and then move them forward, but he hasn't shown the ability to do that. You know, I picked off Matt Stafford twice in a playoff game. You know, and that I'm not demeaning my ability at all. But what I'm saying is, like, at the biggest stage of his career, he folded. You know, and I think until he addresses that, and we've seen this time and time again, out of Matt Stafford, out of Andy Dalton, these guys who have incredible athletic ability, who have great leadership, plays the first four or five games incredible. But when they're in stressful, intense, game-wrenching situations, somehow they fold. Somehow they fold. So I would love for the Detroit Lions to be able to get over that hump. They have a good defense, a good secondary, have playmakers in the secondary. But Matt Stafford is going to be the key for them to get over that hump.
Again, oh well. Who else that was down and out last year would remain down and out in your books?
The San Francisco 49ers, man. Jimmy, I hate it because I want him to do so well. I'm pro player. You know, I want Jimmy to get to fulfill all those contractual obligations that they paid him for. But, you know, I like Jalen Hurts, but for some reason the San Francisco 49ers can't get it together with their running game. It seems as if they can't stop the run. I don't see, especially in the NFC West, I don't see them being better than the San Francisco, I mean, not the the Seattle Seahawks. I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to have a problem this year.
Jabari, thanks very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Awesome. Thank you.
Jabari Greer, former NFL player, TSN NFL analyst at Jabari_Greer is the Twitter account. He praised the Lions defense. That might be a first.